Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. And we begin about 7 lines down from the top with the two dots where we quote the Mishnah, the Ein Nostin Letluya B'Shabbos. We had a machlokas yesterday that we discussed, that we began the Perek, where Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was more makel, and he said that one is allowed to go and hang up the strainer on Yom Tov. You can't hang it up on Shabbos, but you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. And the Chacham said, no, Ein Nostin Letluya B'Shabbos. You're not even allowed to hang up on Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov you can at least put into the strainer, but on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put into the strainer on Shabbos. So that's the Mishnah. And now the Gemara asks, Ibailu, they ask in the Beis Medrash the following question, Shimer Mai. What happens if somebody went and strained on Shabbos? We said you're not allowed to do this. Is this an Issa Deraisa? Is this an Issa Derabanan? Just like yesterday, we asked at the end of the shir, if you went and put it up, is that an Issa Deraisa, an Issa Derabanan? So here we're asking, if you strained with it on Shabbos, which you weren't allowed to do according to the Chachamim, Issa Deraisa, Issa Derabanan. Rav Kahana says, Shimer Chayv Chatas. If you strained with this strainer that you weren't allowed to use on Shabbos, it's an actual Issa Deraisa. We'll see in a moment what Issa it is. And you Chayv Chatas if you did this by accident. More questions is, however, Maskabel Rosheshes, Rosheshes Issa Rav Kahana, really? Mika Midi. Is it possible to have something that the Rabbanon Mechayv Chatas, that our Rabbanon over here, the Chachamim say, Yechayv Chatas for, and Rabbi Eliezer, Shari L'Chachila, is so far apart. He says that you're allowed to do this L'Chachila. Again, we normally have Nisa D'Raisa, Nisa D'Rabbanan, or Meikol, your Mutter, you're allowed to do it. So here we have the two extremes. We don't have anybody in the middle. It's unlikely, Rav Sheshes says to Rav Kahana, that they would be so far apart. Even though we have this sometimes, he's questioning it. How can you say one would say it's Nisa D'Raisa, and the other would say it's Hetu Gomor? I can understand if one says it's Nisa D'Raisa, and one says it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan. I can understand that one says it's not a Nisa D'Raisa, but the rabbis made Gzeira, and the other one says, no, the rabbis didn't make Gzeira. But to say one opinion, Rav Sheshes says to Rav Kahana, one opinion says it's an Issa D'Raisa, and the other opinion says it's not only not an Issa D'Raisa, it's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's Heter Gomel L'Chatchila, that's too far apart for me to assume that that's correct. So that's what Rav Sheshes asks to Rav Kahana. Masik Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asks to Rav Sheshes, Alam Alo, why not? After all, we do find this elsewhere. For example, Harei Irshel Zov, the famous tiara known as the City of Gold, the Irshel Zov. This is what Rabbi Akiva promised he would give Rachel, his wife, the daughter of Kabbal Savua, when she was so poor after being so rich. He said, someday I will get you an Irshel Zov. So Rav Meir is Mechayev Chatas. Rav Meir says, if you wear this in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, it's an Issa D'Raisa of caring and Yechayev Chatas. And Rav Eliezer Shari L'Chachila. Rav Eliezer says, you're allowed to wear L'Chachila. So how can you tell me that we don't find such extremes? Here we have, by this Irshel Zov, that Rav Meir says, L'Chiv Chatas, and Rav Eliezer says, not only is it not a Chatas, not even a Durabanan, it's Heter Gomer, Shari L'Chachila. So why are you so surprised, Rav Sheshes, that Rav Kahana would say that it's Nisa D'Raisa, even though Rav Eliezer says that it's Heter Gomer? We find this by Rav Meir. He says, it's Nisa D'Raisa, and Rav Eliezer says, it's Heter Gomer. Maihi, what is this case of the Irshel Zov? D'Tanya, it's a Braisa. We had this earlier. The Gemara said, "Lo teitze isha b'irshel zov." A woman's not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing this irshel zov. The miyotzah chayev eschatas. The Rebbe Meir's opinion is that you chayev eschatas if you go carry this out in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. The Chachamim omrim. Now here we introduce a middle opinion. Lo teitze, you're not allowed to do this lechatchila. The miyotzah, you're not chayev eschatas, but petura, it's part of a lasser. You shouldn't do this midirabbanon. And Rebbe Lezer said, "Omer yotze isha b'irshel zov lechatchila. It's not even an issur d'rabbanon." So here you see. Again, on the surface, Rav Yosef says, Rav Sheshes, here we find another example where they're at diametrically opposed points and no problem. So Abaye says, no. Amalei Abaye, no. Misavis Rabbi Eliezer, Ad Rabbi Meir Koi, De Omar Chayev Eschatas. When Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, he's not arguing with Rabbi Meir, of course he is, but he's not directly arguing with Rabbi Meir. He's saying to the Chachamim, Ad Rabbanan Koi, says, you say it's not an Issa D'Raisa. I also say it's not an Issa D'Raisa. And you say that it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Dami Potter of Elasar, I disagree. I don't think that the rabbis put an exer over here. So this is different. Here you have three opinions. You have the extreme opinions on the right and on the left and in the middle. So therefore, here you could have three different divergent opinions. Two of them are so far apart because there's a middle opinion in between. But in our case, Rav Sheshes' question is a good question because Rav Sheshes says to find somebody saying it's an Issa D'Raisa and somebody saying it's Heter Gomer without any in-between shita, he says that's a problem. The Mura says, Mishum Mai Masrinabe. No, we said that according to the opinion of Rav Kahana, it's an Issa D'Raisa. What Hasra? Before you give somebody a skila for being over Hilcha Shabbos, before you give them a capital punishment, you have to give them a warning. So the Hasra has to be specific. You have to tell them, if you're doing this act which is such and such a malacha, and if you do this intentionally right now, you're going to be Chayv Skila. And he has to say, I understand that and I'm doing it anyway. What hasra did they give? You have to give a specific hasra. So what hasra is this person straining doing, according to Rav Kahana, that this is an issur d'oraisa. So Rabba Amar Mishum Borer. Rabba says that this is an act of borer. When you're separating out the wine, it's like you're separating out, like you're borer. And Rav Zera Omer Mishum Meraki. He says, no, it's a separate issur of sifting. Now we had earlier in the Masechta that these are very similar, and there are slight differences between them. And now we'll examine those slight differences again. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Kibosi Didi Mistabra. My answer that it's borer makes more sense. Why is that? Ma darko shel borer. How do you do borer? No tel ochel. You take the good stuff, uminiach apsolis, and you leave the bad stuff behind. That's the normal way that you do borer. And therefore, here, the person is taking the wine, the good stuff, and he's leaving the dregs behind. So therefore, af hocha. Now, I mean, no tel es ochel. He's taking the good wine, uminiach apsolis, and he's leaving the psolis, the waste behind. So therefore, this is an example of borer. Rav Zera says, no. Kavosi, didi mistaba. My way makes more sense. Ma darko shel mirakeid. When you're sifting psolis milamala. The psolis, the waste, stays up on the top of the sifter. And the smaller food falls in down into the bottom. So it's over here. The wine goes through, and the psolis, the dregs of the wine, stay up on the top. Avochanami psolis milamala, va'ochel milamato. Rashi points out that this is correct. This latter part that Rav Zera is saying is correct. And Uler, the issue that we have in Rashi is Lerava, but it should be, it says on the side, Lerabba. Hu adinami, the Isru Bei Mishum Merakeit Havi Hasra. Rabba agrees with Rav Zera and says, I agree with you that you're right. I don't say that you're wrong. But I also say, if you gave Hasra for Borer or Merakeit, but even Borer, that you'll be Chayev. And on that, Rav Zera disagrees. Rav Zera says, no, only for saying Meraki, but for Bora, you wouldn't be giving him a good Hasra. Okay. Gemara Ketinin says, Tani, Rami Bar Yecheskel, and the following. Talis Kefula Lo Yasa. You're not allowed to do a Talis Kefula. What is a Talis Kefula? So Rashi explains, Lishtoach Taliso Algabi Arbi Yesedus, to put your talis, your garment, over four pegs, and Lishon Tachtea, and to sleep underneath it, to make a canopy. Viroshov miskaplin lekanokan, and you fold it over litzada aret, so some of it's hanging down, and this will be walls. V'havi lake kisolim, so you're making a canopy, and it's stretched out over the top as a roof, and then it stretches out over the sides as walls. L'hogim in the chama, to protect you from the heat. Davi ola, and you've made an ohel. So Rami Bar Yecheskel says you're not allowed to do this. V'masa, if you did this, since it's only temporary, it's not a permanent structure. It's an issur d'rabbanan, pater of a loser. It's not an issur d'oraisa because it's not permanent. It's not an ohel kavua, but you're not allowed to do this because it's a temporary structure. However, but if it has drawstrings to it, if it has some sort of a mechanism in place that either, some of the Farshim say that it's already hanging up a tefach, or even if it's not hanging up a tefach, so then, in this situation, Tosu says one of two opinions, either it has a tefach up there, or just the drawstrings alone make it like it's already up there, then all you're doing is adding on to an ohel aroi, then mutul in Tosu l'chatchila, then you'd be allowed to go and spread out this garment over the rest of the poles l'chatchila. That's not even an issur d'rabbanan. That's what Rabbi Yecheskel taught us. Boy, my name Rav Kahana, may Rav. Rav Kahana asked Rav the following shaila. Since we're talking about putting up this canopy, what about making a other type of canopy called a kila? So, are you allowed to put up this type of a bed canopy? So, I'm late. So, Rav tells Rav Kahana, "Af mita asura." Never mind the canopy; you're not even allowed to put up the bed. Mor says, "Mita mau." So then, Rav Kahana once asked Rav, "What about a bed?" So he said to him, "I'm late." Rav said to Rav Kahana, "You're worried about a bed? Af kila muteris. Even put up the canopy on the bed." And the third time, Rav Kahana asked Rav, Kila umita mahu. He asked them both of the questions. What about a kila? What about a mita? And here Rav said, Amalei, kila asura umita muteris. Here he said that one is permissible, the bed, but the kila, the canopy, is not permissible. So obviously, these three are totally opposite of each other, and they don't make any sense. First, Rav responded, you can't do either of them. He was asked about the kila. He said, you can't even do the bed. Then he was asked about the bed. He says, you can even do a kila. And then he says, he's asked about both of them. He said, one, yes, the bed, yes, and the kila, no. So what's going on over here? Lokasha. So there are three different scenarios, obviously. So the first answer is, hod dekomer af mita asura. In the first case, when he was asked about the canopy, Barav Kana, and he said, not only the bed, not only the canopy, but you're not even allowed to do the bed, that's talking about a certain type of bed, kiddikar minoy. What is this bed that's known as kiddikar minoy? So this is, Rashi says, the same thing as the Galanisa bed that we talked about in yesterday's shiur at the end of the shiur, that you put it up and take it down, and it is something that you sleep on. And this was something that they would also use. The Mochri Big de Pishton would sell stuff on it, and therefore this was a more permanent structure. So this is not allowed to be used because it is an Issa d'Rabbanon, because it has to be put together, and it's too much like building. So therefore, the rabbi said you're not allowed to do this. So that's the case. The first case when he was asked, Rav Kahana asked him, "Can I do this type of a bed, the canopy on this kar minoy bed?" He said, "Not only can't you do the canopy, you can't even do the bed." Second case, when he says you can even do the kila, hard the karmelay af kila muteres, so that's kidu Rami Rechesku. That's the case of Rami Rechesku we just had, where you had the talus over the four posts, but it had the drawstrings on it, and it was either out of tefach or the drawstrings made it that you're allowed to do this, even lechat kila. So not only can you do the bed, you can even do the canopy. And where is the kila asura umitu muteres? That's kidu done. That's the regular case of a bed, that the bed isn't the problem of building, but the canopy would be a problem of making an ohel, and therefore it's not allowed. Now, Amr Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says, "Chazina lehu lekila devei Rav Huna." I saw in the house of Rav Huna that they put up these canopies. The meurta negido. In the evening they put them up. Umitzapra chavita ramya. And the morning they would take them down. Now, obviously they seem to be allowing them to go put them up and take them down on Shabbos. Rashi points out that technically they may not have put them up on Friday. They could have been put up on Friday afternoon when it's permissible. But he saw that they were up on Friday, once it was Shabbos, and he saw that they took them down on Shabbos morning, and there's no difference between Binyan and Stira. So if they were allowed to take them down, Mimarushach, who had then Hachanami, Mutal and Tosa. So it's only by inference that he said that you're allowed to put them up. He didn't actually see them putting them up on Friday night. Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Rav said the name of his uncle Rabbi Chiya, Vilon, a curtain, Mutal and Tosa, you're allowed to put up and down the curtain, or Mutal Aparko, you can put it up and you can put it down, because Rashi points out, She'ain Oel, this isn't a roof. The only thing that's also to do is a roof. This is a wall. And this is, Rashi says, Masach Shekinegra Pesach. This is like a curtain that's holding, closing off your doorway. So you have some privacy. So that's allowed to be put up because it's not a roof. And mechitzos aren't included in this iser. Yamar Shmuel, Mishum Rechia. Shmuel said a statement in the name of Rechia. We turn to the Yamar Beis. Kilas chasanim, the canopy that was frequently used by the chasanim, mutul and tosa, umutul afarka, that you could put up and take down on Shabbos or Yontif. Why is that? So Rashi explains, lo damia l'shar kilos. This isn't like the regular canopies that are stretched out far, and therefore they make a real ohel. Sheshar kilos prusos agabi kinof shud l'dal raglaim. Because normal canopies that we said are also to put up, because they're spread out over four posts, and therefore that's a real gag, v'yesh lo gag, that'd be ohel. That makes it into an ohel, and that's why it's osur. However, shel chasanim, this kilas chasanim, was put up on two poles, on naklitin, one at the head of the bed, one at the foot of the bed, and in the middle, you have the bed in the middle, and you have a post over here that goes up across the vertical axis of the bed, and you put this kilo on top of it, and it hangs down on both sides. And the top flat part doesn't have a tefach. The board that's holding it up over there is less than a tefach, and that's why Shmuel said in the name of Rechia that this kilas chasanim is allowed. But we're going to have four qualifications of this. Amar Rav Sheish says, Rei Ravidi. Rav Sheish says the name of the son of Ravidi says, Lo Amarin, we only said that you're allowed to put up this kilas chasanim, Lo Amarin, Elishain Begaga Tefach. That's only, as we already said, that the roof over here doesn't have a flat part that's a tefach. Because if it has a flat part that's a tefach, Avo Yesh Begaga Tefach, then Asura, then it's an Issa d'Rabbanan to put it up or take it down, because it looks too much like a permanent roof, and therefore you're not allowed to do this. Second one, v'chi ein begag or tefach nami. And even if the gag doesn't have a tefach, he's still not allowed to do this if lo amorin elish ein bepochus mishlosha somuch legag or tefach. If the slope coming down within the first three tefachim, as the slope comes down, you still aren't a tefach wide. But if you're a tefach wide within the first three tefachim, that's considered like it's flat at the top of a tefach, and therefore that's not good. Abo yesh bepochus mishlosha tefachim. If within the first three tefachim, as you go down, you have horizontally somuch legag or tefach, it's going to be a tefach wide. In other words, it's a somewhat slanted, slightly slanted, not a deep slant, not a sharp slant, then it would be also, because within the first three tefachim, it's considered lavud, like it's all flat at the top, and therefore, if it's more than a tefach, within the first three tefachim, as you go down, the horizontal part is a tefach wide, within the first three tefachim, vertically going down, so then it's going to be also as well. That's the second qualification. third qualification is as follows. If it doesn't have its entire slant, a tefach, in other words, when it goes down, if at the bottom, from the middle point to the side, it's more than a tefach, so then it's also called a tefach. So here you need two tefachim at the bottom, because it's from each side, you have to have a tefach. So if the shipua is more than a tefach, so then it's a problem. The yesh b'shipua tefach, if that is two tefachim total, one tefach from the middle to the side, then it's considered a problem. Shipur olim k'olim domu. Then this is considered not a wall so much, but it's considered like a ceiling, an ohel, and therefore it would be a problem. And finally, the fourth qualification, if when the side goes down, it doesn't extend below the bed, a tefach. But if it extends below the bed, a tefach, then you're creating the ohel underneath the bed. So then, below that, it would be asur as well. Now, this latter point is not agreed upon by everybody. Because based upon this, a person wouldn't be allowed to put a tablecloth on a table, wouldn't be allowed to put a cover on a bed or a sheet on a bed, because it hangs down over the sides more than a tefach. So the Mepharshim bring down, you see this in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that a bed, a sheet on top of a bed or a blanket on top of a bed is not intended to make an ohel between the blanket and the bed, the sheet and the bed, or a tablecloth at the table. So therefore, it doesn't serve the purpose of an ohel. The fact that some of it hangs down over the sides more than a tefach is not the same as our case, but its canopy is the purpose is to make an ohel, and that's the difference between them. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Sheish is Rav Avidi. Another statement that Rav Sheish said in the name of Rav Avidi, he was the one that said these four qualifications. So he said, Hai Siyana Shari. What's Siyana? Siyana, Rashi tells us, is a felt hat. Kova shel leved. Leved, Rashi tells us, is feltritz, felt. So therefore, a felt hat. Rav Sheish, Rav Avidi, says, Hai Siyana is shor. You're allowed to wear a felt hat on Shabbos. Ay, voyant mar Siyana asur. We have another brisa that says that you're not allowed to wear a felt hat. So how come one brisa says yes, one, and Rav Sheish, Rav Avidi, says no? So lakasha, not a problem. It depends how wide the brim is. If the brim is wide, so then it's an ohel, and you're not allowed to wear it. A big felt Shabbos black hat is not allowed to be worn because it's carrying. If you're in a Rosh Hashanah and no Erev, obviously Rosh Hashanah can never have an Erev, though it's a real Rosh Hashanah, so then you wouldn't be allowed to go and wear a felt hat. You can't wear a black hat on Shabbos. However, if it's smaller than a tefach, if the brim is less than a tefach, then it's not ohel. Moore says that's not right. Elamayato, if that's true, Sharbe Beglimo tefach. So then, if you ever put your cloak over your head, and it stretches out over your head, a tefach. Hocharem is mechayim. Now let us put a raincoat on. You put the raincoats with the attachments, the shena coats that they go over your head. So that's ohel. That's not allowed. Honami the mechayim. You'd be chayim for doing that, making an ohel. That can't be right. Shmuel says you're right. Ella lo kasha. The reason why it's not a contradiction, the Rosh Hashanah Bray the Ravidi said you can wear a felt hat, and the Bryce says you can't. It depends how tightly it's attached to you. Hod mahadik. If it's attached to you tightly, so then there's no problem, it's going to blow off and you're going to come to carry it down with Amos. That's why you're allowed to wear it. But if it's not attached to you very tightly, so then we're concerned that it's going to go blow off and you're going to come to carry it down with Amos. So then we don't allow you to wear it. That's the distinction between the two cases. Shalach le Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Huna. Rami bar Yecheskel sent the following shalach to Rav Huna. Emlon Easy. Tell me, my friend, Easy. The Chochmah Shlomo says means ohev, my dear friend. Others explain that it means just like a filler term over here. Tell me, buddy. So, in any event, Emel Anizi, tell me. Hanach mile ma'ayasa, the Amr Shlomo Mishmei Derav. Tell me, there were several vorts. Rashi explains that there were several vorts that he was famous for saying over. Tarti v'shabes v'chodah b'sorah. Shoyorog yolomar shnei dvorim mishmo b'ilcha shabes v'yachas b'torah kidel kaman. There were, as we'll see in the Gemara, said there were three vorts that he used to say over the name of Rav, and Rabbi Mechetz said, please tell them over to me again. I love to hear the Torah from Rav, and tell them over to me again. So that's what he asked him. Tarti v'shabes v'chodah b'sorah. Tell me these three vorts. So Sholach Leis, Rav Huna sent to him the following. Hod Tanya Gold. We learned previously this gold was this leather. It was made from a hide. and you would hang it up, and you would hang it up by this kisna. Kisna is like a rope. So you'd hang it up over here, be kisna. It's mutl and tosu be Shabbos. You're allowed to go and do this to hang it up on Shabbos. But Rav qualified it. This is the things that he asked to say over the name of Rav. Rav qualified it. It says, Lo shanu ela b'shnei b'nei adam. This is only if two people are going to hang it up, because they're not going to pull it so tightly, as Rashi says. Avo b'yodim echad osur. But one person is not allowed to hang it up. Rashi explains, b'veiz b'nei adam lo mimtach le'shapir. You're not going to stretch it so tight with two people. But with one person, mimtach lei shapir shemoscho al yosid zeh, because one person is doing it, so he has to first put it on this peg, and then he has to go pull it all the way to the other peg, and therefore he's going to tighten it, and therefore that's not allowed. And Rashi says, v'chei motzasi b'tshuvas hagaonim. I found this explanation also in the tshuvas hagaonim, any of the amount, but I don't understand it fully. Okay, that's what Rashi says. That's the first member that Rami Bar Yecheskel was told by Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Abaye qualifies, as he says, v'chila, if you have this canopy, afilu b'yasar b'nei adam asar, where we said this goad was allowed to be set up. If two people are doing it, as opposed to a canopy, even if 10 people are doing it in the stomach, they're not going to stretch it so tight. Yefshol de lo mimsecha purta, even if they're not going to stretch it very tight, they're going to stretch it a little bit, and therefore it's not allowed. And therefore it's an ol haroi, and it wouldn't be allowed. That was the first statement that Rav Huna sent to Rami Bar Yecheskel. Second statement that he sent in the name of Rav, Idoch, what was the second statement? Maihi, what was that? The Tanya, that's a Braisa. The Braisa stated, Kira shenishmito achas miyakusel. If you have, a Kira is an oven, and if one of the legs, the four legs on the oven, if one of the legs is broken off, so mutter letalpla, it's not muktzah, and if you need it, it's obviously a klisha malach to l'yisr. You can't cook on Shabbos, but a klisha malach to l'yisr is allowed to be moved. The tzorach gufa mekomo, as we've learned many times. So here, it's still called a kli, even if it's missing one leg. And therefore, if you need its place, if you need the space where it's standing, so then mutl tatli, you're allowed to move it. However, if two of the legs are broken, shtayim, so then it loses its status of being a kli, and it's osur. In this situation, you wouldn't be allowed to go and move it. Now, Rav qualifies this. Rav Omar, afilu chad nami yosa. Rav says, no, I disagree with this braisa. Rav tanu upolik. Rav can disagree with the braisa. He says, I think this braisa is wrong. He says, even if one leg is missing, why? Gizera shami yitzka. Because you may come to go fix it. And the rabbis were concerned and said, well, if one leg is broken, you're afraid that it's going to break even further, so you may come to fix it. And therefore, in this situation, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to go and move it, even though it may still have the status of being a kli. But Rav said, the rabbis made a gzeir over here that you may come to fix it, and that's why you're not allowed to move it. Then, what is the third thing? The third thing was Torah. What is this Torah? So this is a drosh over here. Torah, what is that? That Rav Huna sent to Rami Bar Yecheskel, the Yom Rav, he said, Rav said the following drosha. Asi the Torah shetishtkach mi Yisrael. That Rachman al-Litzan in the future, the Torah will be forgotten by Kal Yisrael. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'hifla Hashem es makosecha. In the Torah it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you have a tremendous, extraordinary zetz. He's going to have hifla Hashem es makosecha. You're going to get an unbelievable zetz. You're going to be hit very hard. What does that mean? So, hafla zu en yudei amal. I don't know what it means, this hafla, this unbelievable, extraordinary type of a zetz. Kish omer, l'chein hinin yosif, l'hafli etzor mazeh, hafle v'ofela. When it says in Yeshaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do these unbelievable things to Klai Yisrael, hafle v'ofela, amazing, amazing, amazing things. So, what does it mean? Havi omer, hafla zu Torah. The hafla is a reference to Torah, and it's referring here to the fact that they will forget their Torah. V'yiflo Hashem es makosecha, Hashem will make it that you will forget your Torah. That's really seen from the end of the pasuk, Yishai. We don't quote the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, V'ovdo chochm aschachomov uvinas nevonov tistator. So it says that the chochm will disappear. So just like in Yishai it means that the chochm will disappear, so too in Dvarim, in the Torah, it means that the chochm will disappear. Tanu Rabban and Abraisa says the same thing. When the Sanhedrin moved in the 10 moves that the Sanhedrin made, so it stayed in a while in Kerem B'Yavne. And it was known as Kerem B'Yavne because of the way the seats were arranged in a semicircle. In any event, Amru, they said over there when they were in Kerem B'Yavne, Asid the Torah Shetishtachach Misrael Nebuch, the Klai Yisrael is going to forget the Torah in the future. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Hine Yomim Boim Num Hashem Elokim, Vishlachti Rav Ba'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Amos that I'm going to send a Rav on Klai Yisrael. Now, this type of Rav doesn't mean a physical famine. Lo Rav LaLechem. It's not going to be a Rav of hunger. of lack of food. Lo tzoma, and I'm going to send you a lack of water. It's not going to be water, literally. Lo tzoma l'mayim. What will be this famine, this thirst? Kim l'shmoa es divrei Hashem. There will be nothing to listen to the words of Hashem. People won't know. And it says, Uksiv, v'no mayim ad yom, u'mizafon v'yad mizrach. The people are going to go and travel from one side to the other side, from north to the east, to the yam, and all around Eretz Yisrael. We just had the Gvul in last week's parasha. So Yishotetu Levakish is the Dvar Hashem. They're going to go and search out the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yimtso. They won't be able to find anybody that knows it. So this Dvar Hashem, this is a reference to Halacha. Dvar Hashem, this is a reference to Akeitz. This is to know when the Golos will end. And this Dvar Hashem means Nevuah. So all of these things will be missing, Rachmana Litzlan, from Klal Yisrael. My Yishotetu Levakish is the Dvar Hashem. What does it mean exactly when it says that they're going to search out over here for the word of Hashem? So give examples. Amru, they said, Asida Isha Shitito Kikar Shel Truma. A woman's going to have a loaf of bread that's Truma, but it was made in a Tomei oven. And therefore, V'tachzor Bevoti Knesios Bevoti Midrasho, she's going to go around and search from every base Knesset, every base Medrash, Leida Im Tmeihi Vim Tari. She's going to know, this is Truma, but it's Tmei or not. Can I eat it or not? They made it, and nobody's going to know the answer to this question. Mora says, really? Nobody's going to know the answer to the question that Truma Tmeihi is not allowed to be eaten? Im Tari Vim Tmeihi, they really that desperate they were? The Hedjik Zibbeh, the Torah says, Beferish, Mikol Ochal Sher Yochel. You're only allowed to eat things that are not Tomei, if they're Truma. And therefore, it's impossible to suggest that they're not going to know this din, that this is Tomei. So therefore, that can't be it. Ella, what was the question that the woman had? Elleida im rishonihi vimshnihi. They're not going to know, was this bread that was made inside this oven that didn't touch the oven itself, is that going to be a rishon or is it going to be a sheni? Because we have the following din, that inside an oven, even if it doesn't touch, inside an earthenware oven, something becomes tummy, even if it doesn't touch the walls. So that's what they were asking. It didn't touch the walls, so it's going to be a rishon because the oven is considered filled up, or is it, no, it's a sheni, we consider it that it's only like a sheni. And therefore, they made it, and nobody knew the answer to that. Shmuel says, no, ha-nami mas-disni. This is a Beferish Mishnah. They're not going to forget Beferish Mishnahs, because it's not. It says in the Mishnah in Kalim, ha-sheretz shenim sabatanu. If you have a sheretz inside an earthenware oven, so everything inside the earthenware oven becomes tamei. Ha-pasha besocho shnia. But the bread inside of it doesn't touch the sheretz, so the space of the oven becomes like a rishon from the sheretz. The sheretz is the avatoma. The space, the air space inside the oven is like a rishon, and the bread that's in there is going to be like a sheni. Hapashi b'tocha shtia, shetanu tchila, because we view the oven as being a rishon from being touched by the sheretz, and it doesn't touch, the sheretz doesn't touch the bread, so therefore it's only the oven, so to say, the inside space of the oven that touches the bread, so it turns from a rishon into a sheni. So Gemara says, that can't also be something that they didn't know. It's a Beferish Mishnah. Someone says, no, Mistaf Kulhu, that already is a machlokis on how to understand that Mishnah. Hod Amale, Ravada Barava, L'Rabba. That we have a machlokis, Ravada Barava said to Rabba, Lech say hi Tanura, command the mole Tuma. Why don't we view this Tanur as if it's filled up with the sheretz, the Tevi Pas Rishona? And therefore, the entire Tanur is considered like the sheretz, and maybe the sheretz, therefore, is considered like it's touching the bread, and the bread should be a Rishon and not a Sheni. So that's what he asked on this Mishnah. And even though we paskin in this situation, Amale, Rava said to Ravada Barava, Lo Amrina, Lechze Hai Tanura Command Mali Tuma. No, you're wrong. We don't view this Tanur as being filled up. Why? Because the Tanur, you have another Bryce that says you don't view it that way. Because the other Bryce says, Yochayu Kola Kalim Mitamim Ba'avir Kli Cheres. I might have thought that Kalim are Mitame inside the Avir Kli Cheres, when in fact they're not. Only Ochlin or Mashkin are Mitame inside the Avir Kli Cheres if they don't touch the actual Tuma, because the Kli Cheres itself is not capable of accepting tumah from a rishon. It's only able to accept tumah from an avatumah. So yochol ye kol akelim mitamim ba'avir kli cheres. I might have thought that an earthenware utensil that's inside this avir of the kli cheres that was mitami with the sheretz that should also become tumah tamid lomay. No, kol hashem besochi yitmah mikol ochal asher yochel. Only foods, so liquids and solids, ochlin and mashkin, they can become tumah. Ochlin and mashkin mitamim ba'avir kli cheres, they can become tumah in the avir of the kli cheres. However, they Kalim or Adam as well. Vein Kalim Mitamim Biabir Klicheres. So therefore, while this was a question that they had in the Mishnah wasn't crystal clear. So even though they answered this question in the Mishnah, that is what they said, Bimon Nebuch, the woman's going to have this kasha, and there'll be nobody that'll be able to answer her question. Similarly, Tanya, we learn another brisa. Rishim Mechoy said, Chas v'shalom to tishtach Torah Yisrael. Chas v'shalom that ever we should forget the Torah from Chal Yisrael. Shinoah, because the pasuk says, Ki lo tishakach mipi zaro. The Torah will never be forgotten from Chal Yisrael's descendants. No, Elamani Mekayim. You had this pasuk from Amos. You showed it to Levakish, is Dvar Hashem Elohim Matsu. People are going to look and look and look, and they're going to search out the Dvar Hashem, and they're not going to find it. So what's that referring to? Shaloh Yimtsu, it means that they're not going to find what? We turn to the Yom and Aleph, they're not going to find Halacha Berura, or Mishnah Berura B'makom Echa. They're not going to have everything clarified. Rashi says, B'tamim, Shaloh Yehba Machlokets. That they're not going to have. It won't be clarified. But there'll be people that will still be learning and trying to clarify. That's what we're promised, that we'll never, ever have a loss of in Klal Yisrael. With this, we conclude today's shiur.